Gentle people, fellow rafters of the sixth life of the Kentucky River, slackwater paddle venturists, tonight we are pleased to offer selections on the history of the Kentucky River from Lexington's own North of Center newspaper. This slackwater exploration will focus on the Fayette Crescent, otherwise called the fabled Canelands. We will begin, however, some distance away from the Kentucky. George Washington Rank, Filson Club member, will deliver his sweeping account of the saga of Judge Dick Henderson and the trials of one Dan'l Boone, our colonial hero king, pioneer, land speculator, revolutionary. We take things up on March 17, 1775, on the Holston River in present-day Northeast Tennessee, at the Dan'l Boone brokered Watauga Treaty between the Cherokee Indians and the Transylvania Land Company. It is here at Sycamore Shoals that Judge Dick legally swindled all land south of the Kentucky River and north of the Cumberland River for his newly formed private land corporation. All in all, a total of 20 million acres transferred from red to white at cut rate imperial prices.
Boone, who had been commissioned by the company to open a road to the Kentucky River, never ceased collecting woodmen in Powell's Valley for the work and concentrated them at Long Island in the Holston. While arrangements for the expedition were being made, provisions for the entertainment of the Cherokees went on to the appointed conference ground, and so did the Indians and the white men. And in early March 1775, the biggest crowd that had ever gathered in the Watauga settlement of North Carolina was encamped about the stockaded cabins of Sycamore Shoals. The negotiators, in behalf of the company, were Henderson and Boone, Nathaniel Hart and Luttrell. The most prominent representatives of the Indians were Okanah Stoda, the aged, crippled, and distinguished head of the Cherokees, the remarkable Attacullacoola, withered and even more aged, but still reputed the ablest of the Indian diplomatists, Sabinuoko and Dragging Canoe. Days were consumed in the consideration of the boundaries and extent of the territory the company desired, the price offered, and the wisdom of making such a sale. And interpreters were kept busy translating talks and documents and speeches. Earnest protests against the treaty were made by orders of the Cherokees, and especially by the eloquent and prophetic Dragging Canoe, but without effect. And on the 17th of March, the great grant was signed. And for the merchandise then stored on ground and valued at 10,000 pounds, Henderson and his associates were declared owners of territory south of the Kentucky River, comprising more than half of the present state of Kentucky. The 1,200 Indians present assented to the treaty, and though a few of them grumbled that they had received only one shirt apiece for their share of the territory, the transaction seems to have been open and fair. And certainly they all joined at the close of the meeting in the big feast that the company had provided.
Back in the spring of 75, just trying to keep our families alive, a woodsman came from all around, converging on Watauga town. I joined in with Captain Boone. He said, boys, we'll all head west soon and open up a little more elbow room. When word came of the final deal, you ought to heard our rockets falling. I'd played no part of Judge Henderson's folly. Now it's been a year and some since I laid eyes on my wife and son. I hold no faith faith that I'll make it home. The Kentucky will be my golden tomb. They ran poor Nathaniel down the frozen creek. They sculpted him and left his flesh to reek. We found his bones after 13 weeks. Well, it's hard to keep the spirit high when the frozen rain keeps falling. Now I wished I'd played no part of Judge Henderson's folly.
Judge Henderson's falling.